All right. Well, hands up those of you who thought the Blue Jays would be in. Put your hand down, Barker.
Over
those
here,
of you
over
who
here.
Thought the Blue Jays would be in position to sweep the Boston Red Sox.
I've been telling you all week.
2-1, the Blue Jays beating the Red Sox in Fenway Park tonight. They are in a position to sweep the team that some folks thought might run away with the AL East. Now, it's still early, of course. But the Jays are 8-5. Kevin, lots of good pitching tonight. Bo Bichette with the sacrifice fly in the 11th inning to deliver the win. We've got to start talking about, well, we got to start with Kevin Gausman. 8 efficient innings, 4 hits, 10 strikeouts. That is his 26th game of 10 strikeouts or more.
Wow.
And Kevin, it happened after a start in which he had no strikeouts. It happened in a game in which his velocity was down 2 miles an hour. And it happened in a game in which the splitter, I mean, he threw 31 splitters, got 4 whiffs. He's basically a one-pitch pitcher tonight.
Yeah.
Explain this.
I think that's the million-dollar question. Look, I think when you're locating it, you've actually put the split finger because it's carrying the zone. The split finger now, all of a sudden, I think, because he's changed his grip. And Buck was talking about that on the telecast, that it looked like he'd been talking to Petey about the, you know, how they've loosened up his grip. I guess that's allowing that pitch to carry the zone a little bit more, which he can get more called strikes with it, keep it in the zone a little bit longer. I think they know he ain't getting swing and miss with it. So how do you adjust that? You sort of make it look like his fastball, but it's slower. And I think that's the adjustment. You know, you said the 10 strikeouts all on fastballs, but they were fastballs down. They were fastballs down the middle. They were fastballs in. They were fastballs up. They were fastballs up and away. They were fastballs basically everywhere, and I think that's sort of what he got the Red Sox doing, was in swing mode, and the change of speed between the carrying of the zone of the split finger because of the change in the grip and the velocity a little bit and the location of the fastball, I think all that combined together with a very aggressive Red Sox lineup, I think this is exactly what happened. So, yeah, I mean, the pace was real good. You could tell he wasn't overthinking it. You could tell just sort of when the ball was released, he knew exactly where it was going to end up, and it was on to the next pitch. And, you know, when you're sort of that locked in, I think it can sort of turn out because you're a veteran guy. You've been there and done it before. This is nice. I just don't know how long this can last. That's the only thing I worry about it. You know, everybody loves rooting for Kevin because he's a great dude and he's fun to watch. But how long can he do this? With a, like you mentioned, being a one-pitch guy and not having swing and miss on the split finger. I don't know. The jury's still out on that.
Do you think when the weather warms up, it might make a difference?
I think the same thing was happening in spring training was thrown. I mean, when I was talking to Pete Walker, the pitching coach, that was the topic of conversation around Kevin was, how do you get more swing and miss? We had a conversation with him when he was on our show, asking him about, you know, just how – right, the thumb sort of driving that split finger where he wants it to end up. And for whatever reason, it's just not carrying, I think, and spinning and breaking 12-6 like he wants it to. And for whatever reason, the adjustment just hadn't been made when it comes to the break. I think the adjustment with changing how much pressure he puts on the baseball, that's to change, which allows it to look – and stay more in the zone, looking a little bit more like the fastball, which just he's trying to take the sting out of the bat. That's what he's trying to do so he can get himself deeper in the game. But just so happened tonight, the location on the fastball is on point. When it's on point, you get punch outs like he did there.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. You can reach us via text. 590-590 is the text line. It is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Your chance to break down, discuss, question the Jays 2-1 win over the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park. The team scored in the first inning. Not much happened after that until the 11th inning. The Jays really, I mean, we've got to talk about this. I want to be Captain Negative here, but Kevin, we've got to talk about Alejandro Kirk, and we got to talk about that first inning. Alejandro Kirk, first pitch, fly ball, run in two runners in scoring position. Alejandro Kirk's error also contributing to the only run of the game for the Red Sox. It was an unearned run. And, a predictable double play from Alejandro Kirk. Yeah. Comes up in the 10th inning. All he's got to do is advance a base runner. He pops up to the first baseman. You know, in addition to the top three scuffling, although today Vladdy did get three hits and Bo got the sacrifice fly. On a night where George Springer and that, whatever, 450 average was given the night off, man, I look at my score sheet. And I really wonder how they won this game.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the pitching was great, but offensively, I wonder how they won this game. Two double plays. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want to be that guy, but reality is when you drop 60 large on a catcher, you start talking about trying to be elite on both sides of the ball, not only tricking the guy that's standing behind the catcher, but you know, actually offensively doing some things. And the old saying is you can't hit what you can't see. And whenever he's got a head fly and he is starting his swing with his eyes, basically looking at the left fielder, where's your barrel at? It's playing catch up. Why do you think, you know, when Dan comes on and he says, do that Kirk thing, which is hit that 17 hopper to right field or that line drive to right field. Because basically when the eyes are looking at the left fielder, the only place he can make contact is sort of, you know, behind his body. Where's the ball going to end up? It's going to end up to the right side of second base. So I just think until he's a little bit more on time, he's thinking about changing where his plate's at, trying to make contact a little bit further out in front of the plate. That will allow him to slug a little bit more to the big part of the field. I think you'll actually be able to talk about him like everybody wants to talk about him. But I'm with you, right? The at-bats need to get better. This is the only thing I'm saying. John's already moved him down in their 12 or 13 games into the season. I mean, I know it's a lot to do with Springer, but to start the season, he was hitting in front of Springer. He's not anymore. There's a reason for that. So I just think, again, you got to, you know, if you're him, you got to make adjustments. They need him to get big-time hits. It ain't how many he's getting, it's when he's getting them. And you mentioned it. It's the innings where it's the obvious thing, right? A couple of dudes on base, it's predictable. You could see it coming, right? The ground ball, anything on the ground, if there's a runner on base, it's normally a double play, right? That's what I said. I think, just for me anyway, until he changes his eye and thinks out in front of the plate, let's make contact there. I just don't know consistently how you're going to get the Kirk that everybody wants to see. So, yeah, hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully he shows up tomorrow, gets nine hits, and drives in 17 runs. But, yeah, I think the pitching basically all year with George Springer has carried this team. That's the best Jeff Hoffman we've seen as a Blue Jay. That was really legit stuff, right? The hard split finger, the slider, getting punch outs when he needed them, runner on third base, lefty up, you get a punch out. It's like he's tinkering around with how much it's moving all over the place, right? It's Bryce Harper said it. This dude is filthy, and that's the best we've seen him look tonight, and hopefully he carries that over, because if that's the case, you get him and Sandlin and Jimmy Garcia. I mean, that's pretty three lethal guys you can bring in at any time against any hitter.
Eric in Halifax, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin and Mr. Barker? Best pitching I've seen in a long time from Kevin Gausman. And I said it at the start when I first called you guys. If their pitching can hold up, they can make a little bit of noise. And Kevin, you know that you said that he's going to falter. Yeah, he's going to have his bad times. But when he starts doing that, look back at this game and what he done. He was like a goaltender. He was the guy that saved that game for the Blue Jays, and he deserves all the credit in the world. Doesn't matter what he does down the road, look back at this game and cherish it, because it was a gem of a pitching match.
Eric, thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Kevin Gausman and obviously how important he is to this rotation, and in turn, how important this rotation is to the Blue Jays. This is the thing I keep getting back to. Like, I believe that Vladdy and Anthony Santander are going to get it going. But I need the pitching to hold them in until that happens. And so far we've seen that. And we've seen it from the relievers and for the most part from the bullpen. I mean, I got to tell you, when they made the deal with the Guardians, you know, and I started looking at Nick Sandlin's numbers. I think I said to you, Kevin, you know what? Nick Sandlin's going to finish this year with more appearances than any other, and maybe more innings than anybody else out of that bullpen. I think he's been really important right now, but I think he's going to be even more important. And when they get Eric Swanson back, if Eric Swanson is the way he was last year, and Nick's, I mean, they've got a plethora of options. They got five legit options in that bullpen.
Yeah,
leaving aside Brandon Little. They got five guys that if you absolutely had to, you would put in leverage.
Yeah, I think, you know, John's going to sleep well knowing that he can go to any of those guys in key spots if you're, you know, putting them in. A couple of guys there need to be in the right pocket, right? You don't want to throw Little against a bunch of righties, right? You know, you'd rather sort of put Green against a couple of righties and a lefty, not three lefties, right? You know, there is some work there for John and Petey to make sure they're putting those guys in the right pocket. But I'm with you. Like, you can get swing and miss. You know, there's some righties down there that it doesn't matter if there's a lefty standing up there. They got good enough stuff, and they got some trickery like Sandlin does with that sidearm thing and having a tough time telling the difference between a couple of his pitches. I just want to be, you know, sure that I'm telling everybody. I don't think Kevin's going to falter. I'm just wondering how Kevin can maintain this, not getting swing and miss with the split finger. If you're a one pitch guy, how do you continue to do this? That for me will be the intriguing thing. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just wondering how he will do it. It's a big difference.
Well, if he's only throwing one pitch, it'll cure the pitch tipping.
Boom. Nailed that.
416-870-0590 *590 1-888-666-0590-21. The Blue Jays beating the Boston Red Sox in 11 innings. John and Kitchener. Okay. Go ahead, John.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, okay, awesome. It's funny, I've been a Jays fan since like 97, and the problem the Jays used to have was we had too much hitting and no pitching. And here we are, things have pretty much reversed. That was one of the worst hitting performances I've ever seen, but probably the best pitching performance ever. So what a whirlwind of emotions. But it's the hitting that I want to ask you guys about. First for Bark, just wondering what you're seeing with Santander right now. He just kind of looks overmatched. We're not seeing really any pop from him at all, and that's really what we brought him on the team for. So wondering if you're seeing anything there. And then I was hoping you guys could explain to me the love affair this organization has with Alejandro Kirk. not to mention all the playing time he gets, not the huge contract, but the sizable contract he got this year. This guy really only had one good half of the season in 2022. Since the All-Star break 2022, he's not only been one of the worst hitting catchers, but one of the worst hitters, period. And I don't think it's a far stretch to say he's, right now, at least from what I saw today, he's like the worst hitter in baseball. So I was just wondering if any of you guys could give me like a
Have you seen Davis Schneider lately?
Be nice.
Have you seen Davis Schneider lately?
No, and I agree. I was going to say Schneider is the only one giving him competition right now. But I know I'm being a little bit over-exaggerating a bit here. But it's just I'm seeing just not very good at bats. And he always seems to come up with runners on base. I understand he's a good defensive catcher, but if you shake a tree, enough gloves will fall out. He's got to be able to do something at the plate. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, guys. Thanks.
No. I'm going to do the first one. You're going to tackle the second one, okay? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you've been the one jumping up and down saying pay everybody. So I'm going to tackle the second one. The first one. Santander, obviously, they're telling you all the time that he is a notorious slow starter. The only thing I'm seeing, he swings at everything. That early in the season, it seems to me like he doesn't really have a happy zone that he's looking for. He's not a guy because of his swing. He's a little out and around. He casts sometimes, meaning when he starts his positive move towards the pitcher, his hands go away from his body instead of following his body, which is a big difference because that makes your swing long. The only reason I know that, I was notorious for doing that, so I know what that looks like. I just think he needs to refine a little bit of what he's swinging at. If he does that, he'll start hitting balls to the moon. Now, Jeff, you're up.
416-870-059. Oh, you want me to answer the question?
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, yes. I mean, Alejandro Kirk is being paid largely for his defense. The Jays think there's still something in there offensively. I don't think anybody envisions Alejandro Kirk carrying the team offensively. I think there's some limited expectations there. But the reason he's playing is they've got nobody else. I mean, they have Tyler Heineman. You know, they got a bunch of guys and a couple of guys in AAA that, you know, you really don't care if you ever see them in the majors, to be honest. They traded Danny Jansen last year. I think a lot of us thought that perhaps in the offseason they might add a veteran guy, a guy like James McCann or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it. Now, they had obviously other things to worry about. But, yeah, it's an area where they went from having Gabriel Moreno, Danny Jansen, and Alejandro Kirk to Alejandro Kirk and Tyler Heineman.
Yep.
In the past three to four years. Mm-hmm. And it's not high on their to-do list. It wasn't high in their to-do list. But, I mean, if this keeps up, you know, look, if Santander and Vladdy start hitting and Bo's hitting, I mean, you'll take what you can get from Alejandro Kirk. And for another year, at least until the ABS comes in, you'll be satisfied with his work behind the plate. But I'm not looking for much offensively from Alejandro Kirk. I don't care about the contract. The contract doesn't change who you are and what you can do. You've talked about this. You're still the same guy, regardless of what you're getting paid. We've talked about this lineup. A lot of things have worked well in this lineup, but there are two things really to me standing out that haven't. And, you know, I know Vladdy hasn't hit a home run, but at least Vladdy's making contact. He doesn't appear to be lost at the plate. Santander and Kirk are, to me, the biggest worries in this team right now. Vladdy, I'm not worried about. Those singles will eventually become doubles. I'm not worried about that. But Anthony Santander, as you say, swings at everything.
Yeah, he does. Right now, I think that's probably why he's a notorious slow starter, is because early in the season, the weather, right? The guys are, you know, a little ahead of you when it comes to the pitching, the break, the tunneling. Like, it's just timing-wise, it's sort of you're playing catch-up that first month of the season. That's why what you swing at is very, very important. Probably more important is what you don't swing at. And when you go to the plate and swing at everything from your ear to your ankle, and your swing's a little bit long because he's a home run hitter, right? Most home run hitters got a long swing. They want to catch everything out front, and you got to have everything lined up and on time to be able to do that consistently and make contact in the middle part of the barrel. So, yeah, I'm not so much worried about him. I just think, you know, it'll take a couple of games of him hammering baseballs, and he'll get in the groove and be the Santander we want. Kirky, look, I'll say this. I disagree with you a little. The contract forces us to talk about him differently.
Oh, no.
It does. We talk about him now on both
Same
sides
guy,
of the
Kevin.
Ball. It's no more about how well he pushes the button and how much he tricks the umpire. It's not that anymore. You led this show off with going, we have to talk about Kirk.
I did not lead
you
off
did
the
say
show
that.
Saying, no,
you
we
said
didn't.
Said
that
we
was
have
like
to
the
talk
third
about what
thing
he didn't
we talked
do.
About.
I don't want
like
to be
the
Captain
third
Negative.
Thing we talked about.
I don't want to be Captain Negative. That's what you said?
Yeah, but that was like the third thing after we talked about Gossman. I mean, you're making it sound like
why.
I let off by saying the Jays won 2-1, but by the way, Kirky sucked. Nah, I didn't do that.
That's what I heard.
Selective hearing, my friend.
Yeah,
selective
that's
hearing.
Yeah.
That is really what it is about selective hearing. Andrew in Brampton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Okay, I got two things. First off, to be able to watch Hoffman, the velocity, the stuff, the fire, the flare, that fires me up.
Yep.
For it to come full circle, we drafted him. He didn't come by. Then we got him now. Just swag on the mound. And, you know, that just gets me amped, you know, whenever he comes in, 8th, 9th, 10th, doesn't matter. But I want to talk about signing Bo, because – getting Vladdy done just gets me thinking about Bo. We want them both. We need them both. We love them both. They love each other. We need Bo, and the deal's not going to be a Vladdy deal, but I want to know what the odds are that we're keeping Bo, because, you know, they're both catalysts, and people say that, you know, Bo's, he's not the guy. He can't play short. He's earned it. We need them both. What are the odds? We're keeping Bo because for us watching these two guys for the next 8 years, 10 years, that would be, I'd be elated to watch them both together.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think the odds are better now that Vladdy signed. You know, here's the thing. If you look at Edward Rogers and the Rogers ownership group and Rogers Communications, if you look at the ownership group, they spent money. They spent money to purchase MLSE. They spend money in the ballpark, despite the fact that they had a basically year with no attendance because of COVID. They've taken runs at Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto. They had the biggest offer for Corbin Burns this year. Corbin Burns wanted to live in Arizona, pitch in Arizona. That's fine. They signed Vladdy to a $500 million contract. The money is there. I just think that we were so fixated in Vladdy that, and I'm going to give Bo credit here. Bo really kind of kept his powder dry. Bo was smart enough to realize that the entire focus was on Vladdy. And let's keep this in mind. I know the caller's right. There was that sense out there that maybe Bo wasn't entirely happy. You know, Caleb Joseph talked about this, how sometimes you look at Bo and you wonder, is he really enjoying it here? Bo did agree with this team on a 3-year contract in his final 3 years of arbitration. So it's not like these sides have had an issue in the past 3 years in terms of evaluating Bo. So they've got a lot of money coming off the books next year. This may be one of those examples or maybe one of those times where Bo does go to free agency to see what the market is willing to pay.
Yeah.
And then comes back to the Blue Jays. It might be. Hell, the way things have gone, they could turn around and sign him. We could have a double news conference on Monday, for all
there
I know.
There you go.
Yeah. Announcing Vladdy's contract, which, by the way, was made official today, and Bo. But I'm sure they'll have discussions. And at this point, yeah, I feel a lot better. It's weird, Kevin. I've gone from thinking neither of them are going to sign to they're only going to sign one of them, probably Bo, to they're only going to sign one of them, probably Vladdy. And now that they've signed Vladdy, I'm thinking that, you know, there's still an opportunity for them to sign Bo.
Yeah, it's amazing that the last couple of weeks we've heard Vladdy's name, we've heard Bo's name, we've heard Varsho's name.
Varsho's name, yeah.
Yeah, we've heard. Yeah, obviously, they signed Kirky. Like, you know, they're trying to keep, I think, that core little group going forward all together. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if he's not playing shortstop next year, who will? I mean, Jimenez, the way he plays second, I don't want to move him. Like, it's the shortstops who can hit and lead off and can hit and lead the American League in hits and also hit 20-plus homers. Don't grow on trees.
I'll tell you what I do, man. You give me Bo and Jimenez up the middle and go out and get me a third baseman, an everyday third baseman, I'm laughing.
All right.
I'm laughing. I'm good to go, whether it's Ryan McMahon or whomever. Yeah, you're going to have to make a significant trade to get it. I don't, off the top of my head, don't know if there are any named free agents who play third base, but that's kind of where I am. If they can get Bo done, and I've got Bo, Jimenez, and Vladdy locked up, and I got the dude in center field, Dalton Varsho, I can lock him up if I want. He's still a couple of years away from free agency. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, remember, too, you got to fill in the blanks in some, around your pitching, too, right? Some of the starting pitchers are going to be gone. Gausman soon, Bassett soon. Max Scherzer, obviously, at the end of the year is going to be gone. So you're going to have to fill in the blanks there, too. That'll cost you a little bit or some trades. Like, they got some moves, but I'm with the caller. Why not? I mean, they're spending this. Why not spend some more?
2-1, the Blue Jays have beaten the Boston Red Sox. They've won the first three games of this four-game series. It's awfully hard to sweep a four-game series, as everybody in baseball will tell you, but the Blue Jays will get a chance to do that tomorrow in Fenway. We'll take a break and come back. Owen, don't go anywhere. We'll get to your call. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, it's going to sound bad, but they were swinging and not hitting it, so that was probably the difference. They were swinging and missing. Felt like I was more aggressive, but also when I was behind in the count, you know, my pitches to get back in the count were really good. So I thought, you know, yeah, I thought we did a good job of being ahead. You know, no walks in 8 innings is always good. But more than that, I thought we did a really good job of, you know, the 2-0 at-bats. We kind of got back to 2-2 pretty quickly. And so, yeah, you know, I think fastball is playing good. It's pretty cold, you know, so no one really likes to hit in the cold.
That was Kevin Gausman, the author of an eight-inning gem tonight at Fenway Park against the Red Sox. 4 hits, 10 strikeouts, no bases on balls. Essentially, utilizing one pitch as fastball. Threw 58 fastballs, 34 swings.
Yeah. I mean,
13 whiffs.
Listening to him talk, you know, he's a very smart dude. He could read swings. He was reading that they weren't catching up to his fastball. He could tell he was using the carrying split finger to get back into counts so he could eliminate them with the fastball. I mean, it's genius. Keep doing it until they make you change it.
Let's take a look around the American League East with Bet365. You can download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. The Baltimore Orioles lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks 9-0 today. The Orioles also found out that they will be without opening day starter Zach Eflin at least for a couple of weeks as a result of a shoulder issue. The MRI did not appear to show the type of serious damage that the Orioles originally expected. But they're already without Grayson Rodriguez. They failed to sign Corbin Burns. And with Zach Eflin being hurt and the Jays going in there for 3 games starting Friday, the Orioles right now, they are 5-8 in the American League East. Tampa Bay just finished beating the LA Angels 5-4. They're 5-6. The Boston Red Sox, of course, 6-7 after losing to the Blue Jays. The New York Yankees, they are 7-5. They beat the Detroit Tigers today. And Kevin Barker's Toronto Blue Jays, 8-5 atop the American League East.
Told you so.
There you go. With a run differential of +4.
Yes!
Compared to +23 for the Yankees. Not that anybody's looking.
Not Yankees hit homers, Jays don't.
Yeah.
Real easy.
For now, they don't hit homers. But the Jays did win 2-1 today over the Boston Red Sox. They can sweep the Red Sox tomorrow in the fourth and final game of the series. A reminder, it is a 4:10 first pitch. Blair and Barker will be on, as per usual, from 2 to 4 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And then we'll hand it off to Ben Shulman and Chris LaRue for the radio call of the game, and that will be starting at 4 o'clock. Owen in Whitby, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, Owen. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, no problem. I actually hung up by accident, called back, got lucky. So I actually, like, to the start of the year, the expectations were a question mark. We were going to be really bad or we were going to be really good. So far, I think it's pretty encouraging, especially Gausman tonight, because last year he wasn't the Gausman we knew. But tonight, he looked great. Hopefully, he can keep that up. The players are playing well. I'm not getting too excited. We're 14 days into the season. Yes, we're in first place, but...
Yeah, don't be like Barker. He's already got him fitted for rings, so...
Yeah, he's planning the parade. We're not the Maple Leafs here. We gotta wait. But what I want... I'm still not. I don't want Atkins. I don't want Shapiro to be involved with this team next year. I know they signed Vladdy, but to be honest with you, it was a no-brainer. Like, how do you not sign a 1A first baseman silver slugger that you've had since you was 16 years old? Like, who else are you gonna get? Right, like that. I'm not giving them too much credit for that because you're not gonna get a better player. And he's going to get that money anywhere he wants, maybe more. So I'm wondering, do you think this is it for them? I wouldn't re-sign them. I would look to new leadership next year. I'm not going to say Snyder needs to go because I feel like he's been on a leash and hasn't gotten to make his decisions at all times. But I feel like the GM and the president got to go, and we got to go in a new direction. Atkins has no personality. Like, You know, even Ricciardi had a personality. Gillick had a personality. Like, Anthopoulos was a beauty. But, like, this guy just doesn't fit for me. Anyway, that's my opinion. And I want to know what you guys think about who's going to lead the front office next year.
Kevin, do you want to take that?
I think it's performance driven. What I think, Jeff. I'll answer it this way. I think it's performance driven. If the president has not already been signed, and I'm not sure that, you know, that's not the case. I mean, it sure sounds like the way he speaks that he's been signed already. But look, I think with the GM, it's performance driven. They've spent enough money now. Their team's good enough. Their bullpen, I think, is better, way better than it was last year. Their lineup, when it's hot, at least the first three guys, I think, can at least make them relevant in September. Their starting pitching, obviously, when it's healthy, is good enough to compete against any lineup, maybe in the American League. I don't know so much about the National League, but at least in the American League, they're good enough to be relevant. If they're not, I'm with the caller. I think it's time.
Yeah, listen, I think a lot will depend on whether or not this team makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I think opinions of the front office may have changed a bit. But I think some of those changed opinions will be tempered by the fact that, you know, we really didn't need to get here. You know, the front office could have saved some money by getting Vladdy done 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, they just could have. Every other organization's doing that. There's no reason they couldn't have done that. So I still think the jury's out. And I think a lot will depend on the playoffs. But again, I will say what I've said about Mark Shapiro. This organization's in really good shape right now. And yeah, 90% of it has to do with the fact that you've got engaged ownership that's willing to spend money and ownership that wants to win and is committed to winning and is perhaps as importantly committed to showing the fans it wants to win. But you've also had a president who's done a lot of heavy lifting with the stadium. And as I've said, and I know people roll their eyes when I say it, that stadium was huge. That was a huge project. So, long answer, I guess, but for a short answer, let's wait and see if they make the playoffs. Let's see if they win a playoff series. I think that will ultimately tell whether or not Ross Atkins is back next year as general manager or somebody else is in here. But I just... you know, my sense is the only way Mark Shapiro isn't back is if Mark Shapiro finds another job someplace that tickles his fancy. That's my read on it. I could be wrong. I got no inside info or anything. That's just flat out my read on this particular situation. 2-1, the Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the Boston Red Sox. Folks, they are in a position with Chris Bassitt on the mound to sweep the Boston Red Sox tomorrow at Fenway Park. It is a 4:10 first pitch. So please join us before the game for Blair and Barker, during the game, and of course after the game when we're doing Blue Jays talk. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers on St. Clair and Laird Avenue in Toronto. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown. Canada's number one rust protection.